La-na-da-da-da-da, la-na-da-da-da-dee. Talking about you and me and the games people play.
Specifically, the TBTL Winter Games. Welcome, everybody, to day four of this every four-year national tradition known as the TBTL Winter Games.
So much corruption, though.
Sponsored by the Home Depot. I don't know who was one of the big... one of the big Olympic sponsors. Here we are, taking our little holiday break, but still entertaining you, the tens of listeners, at least hopefully. Hope your Christmas was great. Hope your day after Christmas is everything you were hoping and dreaming it would be. I'm Luke Burbank, of course. That's Andrew Walsh right over there. Hello, my
Hello.
Friend.
Hello.
What'd you get for Christmas?
Oh, my God. It was a nightmare. Genevieve thinks she knows me.
More rollerblades? Is it rollerblades that you wear over your existing rollerblades?
Well, here's
it's rollerblades for the hands, so he can be on all fours.
Oh, good. Like Midsummer.
Or like those what are those crazy beasts in the Wizard of Oz sequel?
The Wheelies.
Return to Oz?
The Wheelies. Return to Oz is a dark-ass movie, my friend.
Scared me when I was a kid.
Yes.
Yep.
Scared me as an adult. I saw it for the first time several years ago.
Wow, so that's what you got.
That's what I got. I got one of those wheelie things.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
No, the truth of the matter is Genevieve obviously got me rollerblades for my birthday, and the cool thing about rollerblades is every year you can get like another wheel for them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of themed, and
yeah.
So she got me a kind of a pizza-themed wheel
oh, cool.
for each blade.
That's
yeah,
like Camaro Kev's cool. favorite food. Speaking of
yeah,
Camaro
right.
Kev, there he is right over there. Hi, my friend.
Hello, everyone.
Now, of course, we're recording this well before Christmas, but like, do you care what Anita gets you for Christmas?
We don't do gifts.
Smart.
Haven't done it for years.
That
Smart.
Surprises me.
Yeah.
Because you guys are very sweet. You always get her something on Valentine's Day, right? You have traditions built around that, and I would figure that...
Yeah, I mean, I think we just decided, like, look, if you want something, we're adults, we make money, go buy it.
Yeah, we share our accounts. Yeah.
How about you, Vives? Genevieve has. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah. Thank you for making the trip over here.
What do you and Walsh do? Around
what do you
the
want
holidays?
For Christmas? Actually, this
I'll say what I always say, which is I want you to be good.
I am.
My
a good
mom
boy.
Would say that. My mom would say, "We would say, what do you want for Christmas?" And she would say, "Love and respect." I'd be like,
"Well,
what else?
Well, try again."
No, something we can give you.
Right. Yes.
No, I don't know. Christmas is a big deal in my family, and like gifts are. My family still does a lot of gifts and stuff. So Andrew and I do have a tradition of getting each other usually a Christmas present. I'm out of ideas right now. Unfortunately, his birthday comes so close to Christmas that if I have a good idea, it usually is the birthday. It usually goes to the birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still thinking about.
Nah, don't worry about me.
Christmas.
I mean, we're taking a nice trip together. Like,
yeah, honestly, it's like I kind of think like it's going to Palm Springs.
We should
together.
Talk about that. Yeah, because are we going to be lugging gifts to Palm Springs through LA? Like.
Yeah, L.A. is notoriously hard to lug gifts through.
No, it's true. Well,
they
I mean,
confiscate
you know,
them.
Thankfully, we are not flying into LAX at any point.
Oh, not even for our... Well, whatever. Sorry. We'll talk about our itinerary later.
Hold on. I have the Trivago guy in the other room.
You know, I mean, honestly...
You know, if you Google Trivago guy is like the second thing that
oh,
comes up.
Like, I believe it.
People are... Have you done an ATM about
yes,
Trivago guy?
Yes, because he's famously disheveled.
Yeah.
He got in trouble, by the way. He got into a spot of trouble, right? Was it some... Some drunken behavior.
It was some
oh, no,
drunken
really?
Behavior. Yeah,
which,
apparently the disheveledness is very real.
He's
famously
actor.
Disheveled when he's not being the Trivago guy.
Yeah.
What you're saying?
I didn't know he had drunken behavior.
Yeah,
how long ago
he got into a little bit of trouble. I forget the ins and outs now.
Yeah, I would be totally fine never receiving another gift for any major event if I didn't have to give gifts.
Yes.
Which is the real meaning of the Christmas
yes.
season is how much I don't like having to take time out of my life to buy things.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would just give everybody $100 if I could get away with it.
Oh my God. $100 gift card to the yeah. Applebee's.
But it's like, oh man.
Red Lobster from
Red Lobster?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. What about Olive Garden? Olive Garden gets no love?
I'll work with an Olive Garden.
I'd go Olive Garden above Red Lobster in a
well. They, you can use them at both. They're the same
and,
company.
Yeah.
What?
It's
like the Pizza Hut Taco Bell of a slightly.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's that. All coming from the same pipe.
Yeah. Right.
Which, if you're watching The Simpsons on Apple Plus, you'll miss the joke, right? Did you hear
Disney
about that?
Yes, I did.
Disney
yeah.
Plus.
Yeah.
How did they really acquired everything?
Yeah.
Huh?
They just scooped it all up.
All right.
Yeah.
We are on question four. We're making terrible progress through these questions that are supposed to figure out who knows each other better. Me and Camaro Kev, friends of now over two decades, or Andrew and Genevieve, tolerators of each other for also two decades. Now, Even Genevieve can tolerate Andrew. So, what's the score, Andrew?
So the score is 1-1.
Two to two.
I'm sorry, 2-2. Each team got 1 point in the last round. And, of course, there were some points in the very first round. None on Tuesday, though. Let's avoid another Tuesday today, guys.
Yeah. So we are at question number four. What was your first job? So let's see. I think I've lost track of where we're at. Who should be at? I should be guessing what Kevin's answer is. Okay. Now, I guess first job, I would say, in my mind, it would be defined as the first job where you had, like, you were paying taxes. You know what I mean? Like, it was because we all worked, you know, mowed a lawn here
right,
or there.
Right.
But it's like a place where you punched in and there was some formality around it. And I have to admit, I know early jobs for you, Camaro, but I am going to say, was it JanSport? Damn it.
I don't know. He's reaching for the paper.
I thought for sure you'd get this one.
Oh, no. Is it McKesson?
Card attendant at a golf course.
With the Rodfather.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I thought for sure you'd be getting that one,
I didn't
one,
know where that... Of course. Of course. I wish
Rodfather.
I wish you and I could riff on any of the things that Rod, the supervisor of the golf course, or at least the cart kids.
Not even a supervisor. He was one of us.
Oh, right. That was
but he thought he was a supervisor. He was like probably 32 or something.
This guy is a legend in like the conversations that Kevin and I have, and maybe JD too. But I think somehow you and I are, I'm uniquely obsessed with this guy.
Yeah.
Because he was a fellow cart attendant who just was older and so kind of acted like he was in charge.
Yeah, he was like a fuck up. I don't
it's the day after Christmas.
Sorry,
it's the day for it.
You can bleep that or whatever. But he was one of these guys that was like, his buddy was a manager. He was a pro in the pro shop, and he was basically like, I'm doing this guy a favor. And he worked. I was a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah,
16 or 17. So all the cart attendants were like 16, 17, and here was Rod, who was like 32.
And wouldn't he just mimic hitting a golf ball at all times?
Constantly.
With no golf club?
Like Johnny Carson?
Yeah, exactly like Johnny Carson.
Wow.
And he would take golf tee and use it like a toothpick. He'd always have a metal
cooler
in his mouth.
Cool move.
So he'd sit up there and like do his swing, his practice swing with this thing.
Imagine I'm former Supersonic Slick Watts and I've shown up at this golf course for some reason.
What would Rod do?
Yeah, what would Rod say?
What up, Slick? And hand his and put his hand up for a high five.
Nice.
Then one day we were at a casino, you and I, and he was the pit boss, not Slick Watts, this guy Rod.
You know what's fascinating about that is you were at the casino without me.
This was the drift on in.
Yeah, and you text me and you go, I think Rod is a pit boss here. Purely on the descriptions of the way he talks.
Yes, I had never laid eyes on the man.
Oh my God.
Wow.
The description was so specific that I said, this has to be that person Kevin's
wild.
Been telling me about
a golf tee in his mouth.
That was kind of a dead giveaway.
And I was like, come on. And I came in with you and I was like,
did you just drop what you were doing? Like, I got to get down here.
I don't know if it was the same day, but I was like, I was thinking, yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, but then
we
ended up being there. Like, we would go there all the time, obviously. And then it was, and sure enough, it was him. And we broke down. He said, yeah, I used to be his boss. Is what
yeah.
And you're like, well.
Yeah.
Well, not really. Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Yours, I believe, is Dix.
Oh, wow.
I went, no, seriously?
If he's wrong, I want to take a stab at it.
Don't tell me it's the plumbing joint.
No,
I was going to say the plumbing joint.
I've had a lot of jobs.
Was it Johnson Plumbing? Or
never for very long.
It wasn't the plastic box company, was it?
No, a Storables Extra Space. That was in college. I had a four-year-old child at that point. In the old U Village.
The plastic box.
Nobody even knows. I mean, that's not true. Some people know, but it's a marvel when I go to University Village now. It's so bougie. And it was such a shithole back in the day.
I don't know what it was like. I don't know.
It was just like a couple of low-slung buildings that were like, you know, not connected. And the original Ram Sports Bar, which was just like the Duchess. Now, it was like that level of sort of, you know, whatever. No, it was, in fact, Cregan's Pharmacy on Aurora, which then became the Purple Store.
Wow.
Which is now now it's like a cool church. It's gotten turned into one of those like churches where they play electric guitar and have Instagram pages.
Yeah. Whoa,
called like Hillsong or something. Yeah. That's actually one of those churches in L.A. It's not Hillsong, but
like that.
What were your duties at the pharmacy?
Filling prescriptions.
I was a stockpiler. Man, if I'd have known, I wish to God I would. I could have really made out like a bandit. This may have honestly been before the Sacklers even had finagled their way into the, you know, this may have predated those sorts of prescription opioids. I don't know. But my job was, so this was this pharmacy at 77th and Aurora that we, the Burbank kids, we spent all our time in this because it was a throwback or a holdover from a different time. It just had, they sold everything. So the very front was like candy and stuff. And there was these, they seemed very old to me. They're probably in their 60s. Different ladies that worked behind the counter there, you know.
I loved this. I know exactly what you're talking about. A candy counter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, and then there was just anything that your mind could think of as a kid was in this place, you know, stuffed animals or school supplies, videos. They had like a whole video rental section in the back. And then there was an actual pharmacy where there Verl and Wally were the two pharmacists. And I got a job there, and I guess, I don't know, I thought I was going to be more on the glamour side of it, which would be, I don't know, like somehow stocking candy or something. I spent the whole time in the attic of this building getting vials, like, that would get shipped in these cardboard boxes, just full of the different size, you know, when you get your prescription medicine, yeah. that thing it's in.
Oh, the
little
container.
Plastic, that little kind of amber-colored container. Yeah. Those are all different sizes, and I would have to just, like, it would be in the middle of summer, it'd be stiflingly hot, and I'd be up there opening boxes of vials and then putting them, sorting them and putting them into different categories so that the pharmacist could just grab them easily and fill them with whatever. It was super hot up there. I would also have to break down boxes. It was so boring.
Could you listen to like a radio or something
exactly
up there?
Exactly what I was going to ask.
I don't think I could for one reason or another. First of all, this was sort of pre... Like, it was maybe Walkmen were around, but there was some reason why I don't think I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, part of it was because I was in and out of the store, so I'd, like, be upstairs for a while, then I'd be downstairs doing something, then I'd be out in the store. I would move around. But I immediately realized that I hated this job and I did not want to go, or if I was there, I wanted to leave. But there was a clock-in thing. Like, did any of you guys work at jobs where you...
Absolutely.
You put, like, that sheet of paper and it goes...
Yep.
Yeah.
The card attendant I had a time.
And
time
I would, on. That was located like maybe 15 feet from where the pharmacist would be working. And they would be like, I'd be like, what should I do today? And they would tell me what to do. And then I'd think, that sucks. I don't want to do that. So I would do it for like 20 minutes until I thought, well, maybe I can get out of here. And then, but I would have to like punch out and I'd be like slipping the card in.
Yeah.
I'd be like, they go, kunk, kunk. And they go, oh, what are you doing? Did you get all those vials sorted? No, clock back in. Clunk, clunk, and I have to go back up to the. I've always sort
your
of,
mistake was clocking out. The way you game that system is you don't
disappear
clock
for
out.
For a while, then come back.
Well, I would learn that later at the plumbing job.
Okay,
but this was my first job, and I didn't know that yet. And it's funny though because I have now somewhere in the back of my brain is whatever, and I'm obviously very lucky to have jobs that are very fun, and I can't complain about any of them. But even when I was working in other like less fun versions of the media, I always thought to myself, I don't have to clock in. And that I took as a real – like I really have always appreciated that about the kind of work that I've been lucky enough to do.
Like timesheets at Cairo, you and I were both – well, you before me, but you – well, that's right. You were never a producer at Cairo. But for me, a big deal was when I went from being a producer where I had to fill out my timesheets all the time. And then I was given a host position there. And I'm like, Dory doesn't fill out his timesheets. These other hosts, I can't – I'm just going to not fill out my timesheet and see if I got paid. Boom, I got paid. Yeah. I'm a host now.
You
there
found out that
about
Dave
that.
Ross had been filling out everyone's timesheets.
Yeah. I would not be surprised, actually.
Oh, I just want to go around and make sure everyone's good.
Yeah.
I've never had to do a clock in. I've never had the kind of job where there was a time clock. But I have had a job where I had billable hours where you have to bill in 15-minute increments.
Oof.
And it's like, it's a fiction. I mean, maybe somebody out there knows, somebody at some law firm or consulting firm or PR firm or whatever knows how they spent their time on which clients down to the minute.
Man.
I never did.
Yeah.
So who knows, man?
You know, the funny part is that actually relates back to radio in that for a long time, the way they measured radio ratings was these Arbitron diaries. and you were supposed to write down what you listened to for 15 minutes a week ago. And that was, of course, famously why radio stations were always giving out pens and keychains and crap.
And saying their name of the radio station every
They're just hoping you're holding
seconds.
A pen from their radio station when you're trying to guess what you were listening to.
And it's also one of the reasons why I think public broadcasting had better ratings back then, because it was like the halo effect, right? People were like, I probably
listened to that for 6 hours.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was listening to Slim and Jerky in the morning. No, I was listening to Morning Edition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I feel good. Moving on to Genevieve and I guessing each
really
other's answers. Like,
by the way.
You guys
I'm
both
sorry.
Got zero on that.
I thought this was going to be a
I think
a
of McKesson and Jan Sport, but you're right. See, because you know what? The golf cart thing, I guess it... I didn't realize that you had to actually file paperwork and it was like a real job.
Yeah.
It just seems like a fan. I would still do that job.
Anyway,
to this day, Carrie says that Carrie drove the beer cart at a golf course, and she to this day she longs to go back to that.
Yes,
me and
Carrie told me that.
We have actually talked about it. She's like, "Do you miss working at the golf course?" I'm like, "Absolutely, absolutely." All I did was drive carts around.
I never got to have any of those. I mean, I'm not complaining. I've made up for it in adulthood, but I never got to have any of the fun kid jobs. I had the lamest, like most like labor intensive or just boring mind. I never got jobs at the mall. I wanted to work at the stores where cute girls were, or the golf club,
or a record store. My dream was always to. I don't want to give away too much before Genevieve guesses mine, but I always wanted to work in a movie theater. I still have that feeling. Like, we went to see a movie, last week, and as leaving the theater, and I was looking at, like, okay, they're going to have to sweep up that popcorn. I was like, I could do that. And I always have this thought, like, could I take on a night job? Like, after TBTL, because we record in the morning, and then I do a bunch of work, like, do I have the energy, and would they even hire me? Because the only job that I applied for that I didn't get, well, that's not entirely true. But I applied for a job at a movie theater when I was a teenager. I can't remember the details around it. I only remember they didn't give it to me. And I remember thinking, how'd I screw that up? Like, what do you have to do to get a job as a pimply teen in a movie theater?
When I moved back here to do TBTL, I tried to get a job as a short order cook. Well, really like a prep cook at like Vula's and a number of other cafes, because my thought was, I need to learn how to cook, and I have most of the day to myself, and I didn't have enough experience. I was summarily ignored and not hired by probably three different cafes, and I didn't say anything about having a radio show. Like, I just wanted to like do that a couple days a week to learn how to cook.
Yeah,
and I was depressed but also impressed at. You know, you need experience. You know what the hell you're doing.
But how do you get the experience? I guess you hire younger and also like...
Like, I would have been a dishwasher. What I should have done was dishwasher, then you start doing some prep stuff, and then you kind of work your way up. And that was the problem. I was trying to...
You might also be able to get in at like a McDonald's or a Burger King somewhere, and then you have enough food service experience and food prep experience to maybe jump the line a little
bit. I didn't have any experience, and I wasn't putting any of the radio stuff on there, so there was about an 8-year gap in my resume.
That's when I was not crushing it.
I would be... Exactly. that would be like, if I worked at Burger King now, I would be the kid in the Far Side donut caption. Yeah, it would be Impossible Whoppers. It'd be like, we're making 48,000 Impossible Whoppers a day. We're selling 3 of them. I'd just be in the corner sweeping up with my apron on, like, I can't figure out what's happening.
It's too bad that we don't live in Bellingham, because I could hook you up with that theater job. I got some hookups up there.
Yeah. Really?
Theater industry
in Bellingham.
Are you
willing to move to Bellingham to support my budding ticket taker career?
Yeah, it seems worth it.
Okay, great.
I'll just leave the UW. I'm a respected professional.
Sure. It's not the thought of like being able to see movies all the time. It's you going, I could sweep that popcorn.
Yeah,
up.
I just like that environment. Yeah. I would like to be around people. I would love to overhear the conversations of people talking about what they think the movie is going to be about, or my buddy said this or whatever. And then I'd love to overhear what people are saying as they leave the movie. I just love being in a movie theater.
Yeah,
like in the whole.
What if
building.
Somebody said, Hobbs and Shaw was the best movie I've ever seen?
It's not bad. I enjoyed it. It was really fun.
I know. I picked a bad example. I think that's one of those fun popcorn.
What if someone said,
it's off.
Don't they pull
There's so much popcorn on the floor at this theater. I like the movies, but it's very dirty.
Yeah, well, that's not my theater. They're in the... I would never hear that, babe.
That's Terry's theater.
Yeah. Okay.
We always mix me up with Terry.
Okay, we got to take a quick break here, but when we come back, Andrew and Genevieve, we'll see if they can do better than Kevin and I did, which you're right, Camaro. That should have been a slam dunk. I'm so sorry. I blocked out your I blocked out your golf cart days. So, quick break, and then back with more of the TBTL Winter Games in just a moment. Is this from some, like, Nintendo game about, you know, skiing?
I don't think so. I think this is just an 8-bit version of the Olympic theme that I found online. One thing I was reading about this version, though, do you know that one guy plays all the instruments on this?
Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's like Prince.
I know.
On Wanna Be Your Lover. Mm-hmm. Actually, what was the name of that album? Was it Wanna Be Your Lover?
Oh, man, I should know this. It might just be Prince. Like, it might be just a self-titled album.
Have you been, Camaro, you're a big Prince fan. Have you been doing any reading around this new book that's out? The guy that was writing the biography with Prince, and then Prince passed away?
I read the piece. I think you sent me a piece.
That New Yorker
on that,
piece?
I haven't seen the book. Is the book out now? Or
yeah,
something?
I've been hearing a lot of interviews about it, but one of the things they mentioned is this album that Prince put out, because he was doing this tour, like just him and a piano, or it's like a man and a piano, or whatever the name of it. And there's an album that they put out in 2018 that's just Prince playing piano in the 80s and singing a bunch of his songs. Have you heard it?
Mm-mm.
It's crazy. Like, it's really good. It's really weird. But I was listening to it the other night, and I was thinking of you. I was like, I got to recommend this to you. So since we're here together, I figured I'd do it now.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Prince has so many freaking albums, so much music, dude. It's unbelievable. I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll just start from the beginning. Mm. And I went down on a Wikipedia rabbit hole just looking at all of his officially released music and albums. It's insane.
I think I told you about the wall of inspiration in Paisley Park. That's amazing to me. Just a wall that on one side of it, this was clearly commissioned by Prince. It's all the people that he felt inspired him. And then he's in the middle, like a picture of him. And then on the other side are all the people he feels he's inspired, which is like, what would it be like to show up there and see you're on that side of the wall?
Yeah, right.
You're like, oh, okay. I mean, yes, kind of, but sure.
Yeah. It's like Kanye over there. What was over there?
No, it was more like people that were literally his. Like, it was like what was it? Like the Apollonia,
like a Carmen Electra, maybe. She was like a dancer.
Yeah, and then there was this weird, like this white duo that I never even heard of.
Wow,
that he clearly had like championed and tried to make into a thing. Anyway.
Like, is that like a coaching tree? Or
yes.
is that what they call him, a coaching tree when?
Basically, yeah, the influence, like who influenced whom.
Right. Yeah.
All right, you guys, the bar has been set extremely low by me and Kevin.
Okay.
Question number four, first job.
I feel good about this round.
What's that like for you?
It's a new feeling.
Okay.
It's a new feeling.
Lean into it.
I think Genevieve should guess mine first because I think it's really obvious, and I'm really excited to see if I got Genevieve's right.
Okay.
So,
I mean, I guess I just realized... No doy what your first one was. It should be like first non-family related job.
Oh, but, well.
No.
Oh, I was going to guess Walsh Manufacturing.
Yes, working for my dad at Walsh Manufacturing.
All right.
Okay,
yay.
Good. If I fumbled that right into the end zone for you guys to fall on, I would be mad at myself.
No. But, I mean, I punched in. I punched out.
Yeah,
taxes were taken out.
No, that's legit.
It went through payroll.
It's
and
totally
I
legit.
There. I also worked there for a long time. I started by, like, cleaning the bathrooms. And just pointed at Camaro Kev.
Yeah, that's
you
weird.
Love clean bathrooms. No, we're just talking about cleaning the movie theaters. I started by literally scrubbing like the bathrooms out in the shop where these greasy guys were working.
Oh,
and then and having to do
they
some
do a real paint job.
Do you remember that skit from Characters? The final skit from Tim Robinson's Characters. I promised not to do a paint job. Anyway, by the end of my tenure there, years later, I was working in the office, like helping people with maybe not with quotes, but certainly with creating manuals for the machines
this
that were being
so
made.
This is so basically the plot of Tommy Boy. It's
yeah.
Midwest.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
industrial.
Yep. But I'm so glad that my family wasn't in sales because I would not be good at sales.
I think you would be great at sales.
No.
Maybe not at that time. Right now, you would be good at sales, Andy.
No, because I hate it. Because I worked for a telemarketing company for a while, as you know, and it's just that wasn't so bad. I got used to it. But the feeling in your stomach going in there, just knowing that you're going to be facing so much rejection and that you don't give a shit about what you're selling. I hate sales for all the people who are listening right now as they're like driving between sales jobs or sales pitches or whatever. Like, God bless you, because that is a special
skill. It's a really hard job.
And a personality that I do not have.
This ad came on the radio in Bellingham the other day because there's this local radio group up there called Cascade Radio Group. They have like the sports station that I listen to. And it's kind of cool because it's like a real radio operation that still exists in the world,
like,
which is more and more rare. And it's local. But they were like, you know, they have this silly ad where it's like, okay, Johnson, now your job is to move these files from this box to this box and then move them back to the other box. I'll be by tomorrow to check on it. And it's like, that's the example of like the job you don't have. It's like, pursue a job as an account executive for Cascade Radio Group. This dynamic all commission job can be yours. And I was like,
oh no.
That's
tell me more about the box.
Exactly.
If we were doing show titles, tell me more about the boxes.
Oh, I think we are doing show titles.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
No, that's good. Yeah.
That's like, oh, I know. But it was funny because clearly they're banking on people not understanding what all, because the guy said it with this brightness in his voice, like as if it was a perk.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
This zero guaranteed money job can be yours. This thing where you only get paid if you bring us more of that money.
Right. You get a percentage of whatever you've actually brought in.
Yeah. So, okay.
You guys just got a point, which means Kevin
and I just fell behind, which sucks.
The first time anybody's really taken a lead in this game. Now, I have to guess Genevieve's first job, which I have a hunch on, although I'm worried about this because I have a feeling the one I'm thinking – I just have a feeling that you might have had something before this that I either don't remember or you never told me about because you have secrets and you keep them from me.
Mm-hmm. She sits with them.
But I am going to say that it was at Pier 1 Imports.
Pier 1 Imports! What'd you cross out?
I crossed out Lawyers Weekly because – when I first filled this out yesterday, I did fill up Pier 1 long before Andrew guessed it. I feel this is
fair. That's fair.
But I wrote Lawyers Weekly, which was my first like after college professional salaried job.
Uh-huh.
But my first job where I like was paid, you know, to be there, and it was taxes were taken out and everything. But I was a teenager. Was a retail job at Pier 1 Imports, it wasn't a very fun job. It was kind
Were you working down on the pier, like doing the offloading things?
I was a longshoreman.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know that you can be a longshoreman as a teenager.
Yeah. Season 2 of The Wire, I believe, was all about your first job at Pier 1 Imports.
No, you know, Pier 1, it's a little tchotchke and furnishing shop. Lots of wicker, lots of pillows.
I believe they would call it a rattan.
And I was actually, weirdly, we did not work on commission. It was just a, you know.
You wouldn't say it was all commission.
No, it was just a minimum wage job. I think I got like minimum wage plus a quarter an hour.
And this is in Atlanta?
In Atlanta. It was the summer of the Atlanta Olympics.
Whoa.
So the city was weirdly empty because people were so freaked out that it was going to be a traffic nightmare that like everyone just bugged out of the city during the city. So the traffic was actually, it was actually very quiet that summer and it was boiling. I remember just like, I think I had a little shitbox car with no air conditioning and just driving to and from Pier 1.
Mm.
Just so hot. But I was like weirdly good at sales in Pier 1. I wish I'd been on commission. I would have made a lot more money. But instead of getting any kind of commission, if you made a big sale of like a big piece of furniture or something, you got some sort of like points or something. I mean, it was just like, it was nothing. Yeah. But you know,
like
you could,
in the like break room was displayed who was like leading in the points.
I think it was like you could apply it to a, you know, to discount a purchase or something. Yeah. So my mom and dad got a lot of Pier 1 gifts
that
year.
Oh my God, yeah.
Christmas and birthday.
You're the leader in selling tricolor plastic goblets. I love those things so much. Vives, is this, I know that we're kind of running out of time here, but if this is the right job, this is such a good story. Is this where you had an arch nemesis who ran the parking garage or the parking garage security officer?
No, that was during college.
That was Pier 2.
During college, I had, like, I would come home for the summers and I went to a temp agency 1 year and they hooked me up with this financial firm. And it was like a very sort of like, you know, C-plus level financial firm. It wasn't like one that anyone's heard of, but they, you know, they managed people's money. And I was getting paid probably like $15 an hour or something, which back then was, you know, pretty good.
Geez.
But I didn't make enough that I could afford to pay the exorbitant parking rates at the office building where it was. But it was right across the street from I think Phipps Mall, which is like one of the fancier malls in Atlanta. And you can park at Phipps for free. As long, back then, you could certainly park there for free as long as you were shopping in the mall. But I would get there early in the morning before really anything but like the like coffee shop in the mall.
The power walkers.
Yeah, the power walkers.
But they're parking
there.
Right next to the mall because they're not like trying to go to their real job.
So I would like find a parking space like deep in the underground parking garage, come up the elevators into the mall, then walk out and cross the street to my office building. Smart, exactly. But there was this woman who was the parking garage like cop, you know, rent-a-cop, who started catching on to the fact that I was there every day. And she stopped me as I'm driving in, or I think I was walking out one day. She said, "I know you're parking here. You're not allowed to park here." And I said, "Prove it." Because she didn't know what my car looked like. Man. And every day I would drive around making sure she hadn't seen me, and then I'd park the car somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she can't tie you to the car.
You can't tie me to the car. You can't ticket a car that you don't know is my car. Could be anybody's, obviously. Got away with it the whole summer.
Oh, that's such a great story.
Free parking.
Yeah.
I love that sense of that just like it's taken me much longer to really just be that mean to people. No, like the self,
I was actually way meaner back then. Now I mean, I would be too
I don't
ashamed.
Think you're being mean. I don't know why. Mean just came into my head. But the self-possession to be like, you don't have anything on me, that's so smart because you're totally right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like I would have been really upset, but I would have gone and moved the car because I wouldn't have realized that they didn't have anything on
me. It's actually kind of shocking that I didn't, because I'm such a rule follower and I'm very afraid of consequences. Hmm. But I think my reasoning was, well, all it's going to take, if they catch me, I'm going to find a ticket on my car. It'll be for whatever it is, or maybe I don't even know like what kind of ticket can the parking attendant issue.
Well, you
issue.
Get called to mall court.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Which is in the back of the Cinnabon.
I think even at 20 or however old I was, I knew that
on purpose.
Like the consequences were going to be fairly mild.
Right.
And the biggest consequence was that I would never allow, you know, I could not continue to do it. So I thought like, I'll just keep doing this until I see a consequence. And then I'll go figure out a new system.
And there's a chance that ticket is less than parking at
exactly.
the other garage anyway.
That was the other thing.
No, it's just you're making a completely rational decision, a choice.
You just have to be willing to say no to an authority figure.
Yeah, and that's for all of my brazen, as they would call it, a rebellious spirit when I was in church.
Yes.
I don't know if I would have had the stones to be rebellious towards that seemingly authority figure.
But it was never on your conscience when you were sitting at work and you were like, boy, the mall was, all the parking was sold out today and I've taken one spot away from a patron.
If there's one thing that Atlanta the 1990s was not lacking for, it was plenty of parking.
Yeah. Like that mall parking garage probably never filled all the way up. Do you think?
No, I'm sure it never. I'm sure even to this day it hasn't. I mean, there's so much parking in Atlanta.
So what's her problem?
Them's the rules.
She's got a job to do, man.
I mean, that's on some level you kind of appreciate. Like most of my,
I thought she was a worthy opponent. I was
exactly
happy, kind of relished it.
Game.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that from her as well because most of my sketchiness relies on the sort of apathy of the people that are supposedly supposed to be monitoring whatever it is. This is something I've passed on to my daughter. What she's realized is most of the people that are charged with guarding some entrance to something, they don't care that much.
Yeah.
They're not willing to take a bullet over it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she carries a gun.
Yeah, that's how you think she gets into all those music festivals.
I'm just saying, of all the things to guard, you know that she just must have like saw you so much and was like, I'm going to figure this one out.
Yeah,
she reminds me of a Bob's Burgers character for some reason.
Totally.
Yes, very much. That's what you should be picturing. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Do you happen to know the name of that parking enforcement person? Because I hope it's not one of these names on this list I'm about to read. Oh my God, but check this out. Let's thank these donors of the day, these kind, generous people making the show possible. Talking, of course, about Lisa Zagone of Concord, California, Douglas Jansen of Fall River, Massachusetts, KJ Williams of Madison, Wisconsin. Of course, we have Rebecca Butler from Philadelphia, PA, checking in. And then a resident of Oakland, California, Zachary Haz.
What? I know that name.
What?
I told you it's a business model based on our actual family members donating.
Oh, my God.
Zach, that's your Christmas present this
year.
Fun
fact, he actually says Haas. That's true.
Oh, right. I remember this.
He changed it in high school. He's like, everybody calls it Haas. It's just easier, right?
Yep.
Zachary Haas of Oakland, California. And, you know, you pay the ticket. You get to have your name pronounced how you want, Zach. Thank you very much. I know it's so, like, my little brother donates to the show, and it's, like, it's humbling, it's sweet. I mean, I guess you don't work for the show, so this is a little bit less landing on you than maybe it is Andrew, but it's like when someone who we're related to, we see on a regular basis, you realize they're also funding the operation. You're like,
you know, Zachary,
it's like if Addie ever noticed how much money I give her.
I don't know if we've explicitly said this, but Zachary is Genevieve's brother, and I mentioned that he was coming over for Thanksgiving recently. And I will say, and I know Zachary will hear this, boy, maybe it's from listening to how uptight I am day in and day out on this here podcast, but, you know, he slept in our guest room for one night, and that boy left it impeccable.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Everything. Like, he was playing my little...
That's what makes it hard for me to believe that we are genetically related.
Well, I think he just knows how upset... I think he's just like, I don't want to be hearing about me being a slob on the podcast.
Right,
like, he was playing my little video game thing, my little emulator, which has a bunch of weird cables. They were all wrapped up, like, perfectly.
Wow.
All the sheets wrapped up, stacked. So, thanks,
Zachary.
Wow,
see, it's working.
I feel seen.
Your system
exactly.
Making sure that anybody who as long as they listen to the show, they can stay here.
Yeah, right.
Because they know how seriously
you
take it. And then Mary Halcombe of Mukilteo, Washington, who I don't think any of us are related to, but I mean, that's some wild times in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Absolutely.
So, Mary, thank you for the donation. Mary, Zach, Rebecca, KJ, Douglas, and Lisa, thanks for making the show possible. A show that finds itself at the end, which means we have tomorrow to power through six questions.
Real churn and burn on tomorrow.
It's going to be, yep.
Yeah.
But
and we're
going to
be
good.
Guessing them too, right? We're not just giving our answers. We got to keep the game.
No, we
got
to guess them, but we'll just have to keep it. We'll have to keep it moving,
okay.
Which is one of the things this show is really known
exactly.
for.
Exactly. So. I think the chances are really good that we'll get through them all.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, please remember to mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.